Paul says, I know him who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's just a jumping point. We want God's glory to come. Now listen to me. Even though the whole country seemingly, and there are pockets of God moving in America, even though the whole country seemingly is going in the tubes, we don't have to have that here. Because people are forgetting about God, doing their own thing, living their own life, walking the way they want. We don't have to have that here. Because people are rejecting the Bible and not accepting Jesus, and young people are going their own way. We don't have to have that here. And so it becomes a choice. But I want to remind you of something we reminded you of before. God cannot keep what you don't give him. If you're going to serve God, serve him with all your heart. If you're going to serve the world, serve it with your whole heart. Don't be somewhere in between. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and say, I'm making right choices. I'm walking the right road. I'm living the right path. I'm going the right direction. Now we're going to start out in Daniel chapter 5 this morning. I'm not going to ever give you another scripture. I like the old one better. Daniel chapter 5. I better put these on. Did you get my lens all dirty?
No, I tried to clean them.
I got all kinds of help. We're going to go back to Acquire the Fire next week. Now, Kirk, there's a way we can tell if they're cooling off when they go back to the back of the church again. So how many of you kids made up your mind to serve Christ with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit? Then we're going to see you right here. Smile, sweetheart. You know, how many of you ever read about Belshazzar and the writing on the wall? We're going to leap in there, but then we're going to the New Testament. Daniel chapter 5, and Daniel's interpreting, or about to interpret, with the writing on the wall. And he says this, O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom of majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he pulled down. But when his heart was lifted up, or when he became full of pride, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne. They took the glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like wild beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and he appoints over it whomever he chooses. Now what he's saying here, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel warned him about pride. God warned him about pride, and one day he was walking out in his terrace and he looked and he said, look at this great kingdom I have made. And God judged him immediately and he became like one of the wild animals and he began to eat grass like for his food. And he had the mind of an animal. This was Belshazzar's dad. Now here's the rest of it. In verse 22, but you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wife, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see nor hear. Now here's where we're going this morning. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. You worshiped and you praised the God of gold, silver, and stone. You were foolish enough to carry away the articles from the temple when you destroyed the Jewish temple. And now you've partied with them, you've drank wine out of them, you and your wives and your concubines and your servants. But you never glorified God who holds your breath in his hand and his ways. We come to a place when we really need the conception of who God is. Of how he functions, of what he does, even to the place of what he thinks. But we, just like Belshazzar at times, get out there and we do our own thing, live our own life, do what we feel is right, and at times our hearts are turned away from the living God. And we are turned to other things. But I want you to go with me to Acts 17:28. The book of Acts 17:28. Got my eyes healed. And you know this verse. It says, "For in him..." Say in him with me. Who is in him? Jesus. Okay? In him we live, we move, and we have our being. In him we live, we move, and our being is the same. We have our existence. Daniel looked at Belshazzar and said, "You don't glorify the God who holds your breath in his hands and your ways in his hands." And now Paul is preaching to the place of the unknown God on Mars Hill. And he's coming to tell those people, in Christ, we live, we move, and we have our being. In Christ. We don't understand that Almighty God holds our lives in his hand. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing for God to lift his hands off a group of people or off a nation. The Bible says he establishes kingdoms and he tears them down. He establishes rulers and he tears them down. And we need to come to that area where we recognize everything, say everything with me, everything about our life should be about him. He's not looking, as Kirk was saying and the worship team was singing this morning, he's not looking for us to give him an hour a day or 15 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day or to read a chapter out of the Bible a day and then go on and do our own thing. He's looking to be the center of our lives. He's looking to have control of our lives, not because he took something, but we willingly gave it. In Jesus Christ, we live, we move, and have our being. In fact, is the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, but God's great mercy, he gave us eternal life because of his mercy. You don't have to walk around ducking because you think God's going to get you. If he wanted to get you, you'd already be got. He wants to get you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to get you to draw you to him. He wants to get you so that you enjoy life and not death, joy instead of sadness, righteousness instead of a sinful nature. He wants to get you in a way that you recognize that in him is life, and apart from him, there is no life. We've been studying Colossians up at Tony and Angie's up toward Wheaton on Thursday nights. But I want to show you something in the book of Colossians. Yes. What? Where's your yelling?
What? Oh, sorry.
Man, he only had it for a moment, kids. You see how quick you can lose it?
I wasn't part of that section.
Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, principalities or powers. All things were created through Him. And for Him, He is before all things, and in Him, say it again, in Him, all things consist, or all things are held together. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:3 that He upholds all things by the word of His power. This whole universe is never going to go out of whack until God tells it to. If you got up this morning, you don't have to worry about global warming. You don't have to be concerned about all the fears that people are bringing to you, because God upholds all things by the word of His power. Now keep in mind, we're not going to have some sudden destruction of this earth in the next few years. Society's not going to be done away with. The Bible teaches us that we have 1,007 years, if the rapture happened today, before this earth is going to be destroyed. So you can kind of relax about that. Turn off the news when it's contradicting the Bible. Follow God and realize by Him everything consists. The Bible tells us that our sufficiency in 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is in Christ. That's a very interesting word, because that word sufficiency there means competency and ability. Your competency and your ability is from God. Hello? Now, if you're incompetent, that's not from God. But God holds everything together. Now listen to me. People will look at us, and I've told you this before, and think that we're arrogant, that we're dogmatic. Who in the world gives you the right to be so arrogant that there's one God and that Jesus Christ is this God? You know what's really arrogant? People who will look at you and say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe what God says. Keep this God stuff away from me. I'm not accepting it. That is arrogance, because they're spitting in the face of God. Your life, your very being, the very actions that you take, at times the very words that you speak, are controlled by God. He wants that. He believes in that. He believes in you. But how are we going to handle this? Jesus said something you don't hear a whole lot of preachers preaching. Turn back with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse number 5. I'm going to read the whole verse, but the end of that verse is the interesting part. It says, I know I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
I am the vine. You are the branches. In me you'll bear much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. Listen to me. Look at me for a moment. Everything God has asked you to do, every place God has asked you to go, He will give you His divine ability to accomplish what He has called you to do. Our problem is we get off track when we have a few minor victories and we start thinking, well, God did it this way that time and God did it this way that time and these two match up, so this time we'll just do it that way. We'll just keep doing it the same way. God never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, but His methods change. Every community in South Dakota and Minnesota, there's a key to reaching it for God. Every community. And when the body of Christ gets serious enough about reaching it God's way, it'll happen. But we think and we look at things that we can understand this, we can figure this out, we can do it ourselves. I remember now, you know how old I am. I don't have to go there. But I remember when a church in the state of Washington bought some buses. Anybody remember when bus ministry was a big thing in churches? They bought a fleet of buses. They started busing people in, and pretty soon from Washington to New York, from Texas to Minnesota, churches were going out buying buses. That was the thing to do. You had a lot of buses sitting empty around after a while. It didn't work. The new thing is cell groups. Pastor Cho started cell groups over in Korea. I've been in Pastor Cho's meetings. I've heard him preach. He talked about cell groups. Everybody wanted to start cell groups. Now there are very few churches that are accomplishing what they want to accomplish through cell groups, because buses worked in Washington and cell groups worked in Korea in some places in the U.S., but that's not necessarily the way God wants to do it. But when the Church of Jesus Christ gets in front of God and hears what He has to say, it'll work. Amen? And in your community, in your life, when we come to a place in my life of realizing in Him we live, we move, we have our being, and we start hearing what God is telling us to do, and we start going out and doing what He tells us. You sure you're still alive? In Him, the whole life of the body of Christ is about Him. It's in Him. As many as He received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God. If any man be in Christ, they're what? Where are they at? In Christ. It's being in Him. It's not me getting up in the morning and coming in here a Saturday morning and thinking about, boy, God, I got to get this. I think I'm going to preach this today. I'm just going to take this and just, I don't care if it works or not. It's just my idea. Jeff won't understand it anyway. Hi, Martha. I haven't been picking on Martha. She got her feelings hurt last week, so I just got to say hi to Martha. And so we come to a place where we, hi, Martha. We come to a place where we just start looking around and doing our things, and maybe something works. And then we take hold of that thing, and our whole life is wrapped around that method instead of being wrapped around Christ. But the thing of it is, I need to get before God. I need to hear from God about what He wants me to do and what He wants for my life and how He wants me to do it. Look at me. How many of you have children not serving the Lord? Don't have to raise your hand, but you can. God has a plan for reaching your children. God has a plan for every single person in this universe. All 6 billion of them. He has a plan to reach them and reach them where it's not going to be just an emotional thing. It's going to be a God encounter because we've passionately served Him and we've passionately sought Him, and He speaks to our heart and we do what He says to do. A week ago Friday, I sat in the youth room and watched Fireproof. Anybody watch that? As I watched that, I realized that the man was going through the motions, and you did too if you've seen the movie, of doing the things that his father told him to do for his wife, and even though he didn't want to do it, he did it. But when he accepted Christ and started to do it because he wanted to do it and because he was willingly following through with it, something began to happen, and his wife never changed in a heartbeat. His wife never said, "Oh man, I see the change, I'm going to embrace that." What showed her the reality, in my opinion, and Kirk will have another answer tomorrow, but what showed the reality of the situation with his wife is when he went and bought the equipment for her mother and spent the money that he had for his boat. And you could see the look on her face when the lady said, "Well, Dr. So-and-so didn't purchase this, but your husband did." You realize how that shook her, and she almost came to a place where, really? Were there things about people's lives that when God begins to speak into your life and you begin to speak them into other people's lives and they begin to see what's happening, that they'll recognize something's real? Christians, I'm not talking about you folks, I'm talking about all the people not here. Christians are the biggest reason people aren't Christians. Christians become our own worst enemy. Christians begin to do it their way, follow their plan, give their life to what they want instead of being Christ-like and listening to what Jesus has to say. And so it's not them out there that have to change necessarily. It's not them out there who have to measure up. It's us. We come to a place where our knees are bowed to the King of Kings. And when somebody treats us wrong, we smack them upside the head.
Right. I didn't see that. Do it again.
But we don't do that. You can take a bigger hit than that, can't you? But we get frustrated and we get full of anger when people don't want to do what we tell them. And we may not tell them that, but we start living it. How many know that people can pick up when you're angry? How many know people can pick up when you're frustrated? And so we come to that place of recognizing it's Christ in Him that we live and that we move and we have our existence, and realizing that, we walk that out the way Jesus would have us walk it out. Now, the other part of this is you in Christ. In Christ we do this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in you. And you know this verse. But take a look at it. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. Fasten your seatbelts. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you just want to go to heaven when you die or when the trumpet sounds? Or how many of you want to go to hell? How many of us have knowledge of the way to get to heaven? We really know how to get there. How many of you don't have a clue? How many am I wasting your time by talking about this? It is Christ in you. How do I get him there? How do I get to know and have a relationship with this one called Jesus? And do I really want that? Would coming to Christ and giving my life to Christ and walking in peace and joy, knowing my sins are forgiven, understanding how much God loved me, would that interfere with my life? The Bible says that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I'm going to be saved. The Bible tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not about me. I can't earn it. Christ is desperate. It's a very interesting word. Christ is desperate about getting into your life. Not just simply coming in and saying, okay, I accept Christ, I prayed a prayer, I'm okay now. He's desperate to get to know you and a relationship with you so that he can live his life through you. That's the hope of glory. We had a little touch of glory here this morning. We've had a little touch of God. We've had a little touch of his presence, and things begin to happen and things begin to move and God begin to manifest himself and God begin to touch people's lives. But there's more. There's more. We can have it. In him we live, we move, we have our existence. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The glory is the manifested presence of God. God wants to manifest his presence in you and through you. This is not simply about coming in here for an hour and a half or 2 hours and going home and say, boy, that was good. This is about walking it out there. Mom and Dad, now that your children are pursuing Christ, now that your children, your teenagers are following Christ, what part of this is going to help change your life? Grandparents, what part of this will change your life? How are we going to walk before these teenagers so that we can see that we appreciate their sincerity and we want to encourage them to walk it out and not go back? They don't have to be a statistic. What percentage, you remember, Kirk, percentage of teenagers turn away from God when they go to college?
88%.
88% of teenagers, when they get to college, forget about God. Not these. Not these. Why? Because every time we come in this place, they have a God encounter because Christ is in us. Every time we come here, it's not about hype. It's not about doing the same thing over and over because God did it that way on February 15th. It's about coming to a place and getting in the presence of God and seeing the Spirit of God absolutely transform us. That our children, when they're transformed and changed and anointed and filled with the Spirit of God, have a place where we can look at them and they can come to us and we can say, isn't that wonderful? Years ago, we had a teenager coming to church. And her mom said this, and I'll never forget it. She said, I'd rather have her drunk than go into that church. She got what she wished. It's not playing games. God doesn't blend in to what we want. We blend into who He is. Amen? We come to a place of getting into Him and He getting into us. That's the transformation. That's the power. That's the change. That's the transitional period where we are like Him. We are conformed to His image. As we are conformed to His image because He is in us, we allow Him to take the crud and the junk and the things that aren't necessary out of our lives. And like Kirk said this morning, He heals the broken heart. He gives us His heart. And we begin to look at people different. We begin to look at our teenagers different. And we begin to walk around praising God. Raise your hands with me for a moment. See if you can do it. Can you raise them? Can you say, thank you, Jesus? I love you, Lord. Lord, forgive my sins. Change my attitude. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that gives me divine character and divine abilities to worship you. Jesus, I want to be in you, and I want you in me. My life is yours. Amen. That's all it takes. But when that happens, you begin to walk it out. Your life is changed. Your life can be changed in a moment, but it's allowing that change to stay and develop a relationship. I'm done, but I have this word for you. No matter what you've done, God will receive you. Come here, Jeff. I know I'm not going to pick on you. God just wants to give a message this morning. Jeff's been on meth, been into alcohol, gambling, drug addiction. But a couple years ago now, right?
Two and a half,
wow. God changed his life. Absolutely, radically changed his life. About that same time, God changed Angie and Tony and Loretta's life. Just through Jesus. Nothing about us, just Jesus. If God can do it for him, and I'm a former drunk years ago, God can do it for us. He can do it for you. Thank you, buddy.
I've been sober over three, but that doesn't mean that...
You weren't serving God.
That's right.
Go ahead.
You said you were done?
Almost.
Okay. These kids got something to ask you.
Okay.
What was the question, Selena?
I don't know.
Okay.
What? One more?
Oh. One more verse.
Okay, you asked for it. You ask for it. Acts chapter 3. I forgot about this one. I don't want anybody to leave disappointed. And I only got 65 other books I could go to if you want more. One more verse. I do want you to see this. How many remember the lame man being healed at the Gate Beautiful? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And what did the man do? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Peter answers them like this when they all start running to him. Now as a lame man who was healed held onto Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" They didn't do it, Lord. They didn't do it, people. The Lord did. In your life, whatever spiritually you need this morning, he's the one that will give it to you. He's the one that will do it.